sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I want to ask you finally, I've always felt, especially over the last couple of months and into the playoffs, there's really kind of a band of brothers feel to the bullpen out there. You guys bonded together, different guys did different roles. We learned what a rover was, a starting pitcher starting. Now we got to have three mounds in a bullpen just to get everybody ready in a World Series game. But take us into that mentality a little bit. How sweet is it today to be celebrating with those guys who've meant so much to each and every one of you?
It's amazing. And honestly, like you said, we are so close, and every guy on that team is like my brother. And it all started with us getting some Fortnite wins, led to a World Series win. Let's go.
Come on, Joe Kelly. We just started to really, really like you. Don't do this to us.
It all started with us getting some Fortnite wins that led to a World Series win. Let's go.
That's the second time in 3 days they've talked about this.
Fortnite. Now they want to shove
stay
Fortnite
together.
Everybody's
they,
fight?
They play together. No, they've been doing this since the end.
Why?
I think to back their guy. Like, you guys rode him for the Fortnite net, and then he probably still played, but kept it out of visibility. You know, we had to hide the damn TV for you people, so we played it on the road, and we brought our game systems and everything. Not that you had to bring a game system. You could play it on your iPad. But that's the second time in 3 days I've heard that, too, that they go to dinners together. They play video games together.
Yep.
Video games for you people.
Well, that's
we won
what
the
you
World
did
Series.
You and Bledsoe
yeah.
used to do that together.
But, nothing, but like we didn't play it chronically.
Right.
To where we develop issues with our hands. Numbness. And my finger gets jammed. Yeah. What are you going to do? You do. They want. It's their day. They say whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, so the Duck Boats them. Have left Fenway Park. They're actually leaving the park right now as we speak. So they're all loaded up and on their way out.
I got a question for you.
What is it?
So remember those two guys that were driving and saw something on the other side of the road in a paper wrapping, and they went and rescued it?
The guys with the banner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Felipe and...
Which boat are they on?
They got to be part of this today, right? Are they going to let them speak? Like, you know what? Cross over four highways. My buddy's over there. We got friends. We could
all right, so
sold this.
This is sort of cool. The Red Sox have put the previous trophies on a boat.
Yep.
And they've got former players
holding
their trophies. So Pedro Martinez is currently on a duck boat holding the 2004 World Series trophy. David Ortiz is up there holding what I assume is the 2007 or 2013 World Series trophy. Like, that's a nice touch. Both of those guys work for the team. I'm sure Veritek is in there somewhere with a trophy.
Veritek and his wife are on one of those duck boats. That's for sure.
Right? Give Veritek 07, give Pedro 04.
That's right.
And they're on their own, you know, separate boats there, just holding the other trophies, the
Schilling
ones.
You see Veritek?
I didn't see Schilling on a boat. No, I didn't.
Well, he's 16.7 miles from there.
I didn't see him on
it's
one
funny
of
how Embry,
the duck boats.
Is that Embry carrying the other trophy? You know, I saw a Veritek massaging Ortiz's shoulders on set. You see the uncomfortable slap he gives A-Rod, and Veritek ain't missing many meals right now.
That's your buddy.
I like him. He's
that's
good.
That's your friend Jason.
I played a little softball with him and Matt McCarthy. Man, Matt McCarthy.
You, Matt McCarthy, and Veritek?
Yeah, played in a little Cape League celebrity game summer.
And wow. Matt McCarthy was one of the celebrities?
He was playing on the other team, yeah.
He's a, I
tall
think
drink of water.
I think
kid.
He's a big
deal
Cape,
down the Cape.
Yeah, big,
he's
Cape always big Cape League baseball.
He's the voice of the Cape League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I was glad he was there because he let me borrow one of his gloves. Nice broken in glove.
Because you went to the game and didn't bring one.
What do you call that? Hard Heat?
Yeah.
His podcast. Hard stuff.
Hardcore baseball.
Hardcore baseball.
98.5 the Sports Hub app and 98.5 the Sports Hub.com. Also in iTunes and whatever podcasting service you're using.
Where's Chuck the Tank at?
I don't
Give
know.
The mayor.
But they're on their way on this parade. I always wait for the – I want to hear the number. How many people showed up for the parade?
He's down a bell in hand right now, having his eighth. He ain't working today. Love it. Love it.
Hey, Patriots fans, Mark Bertrand here. Ever wondered how to make game day even greater? Simple. Bring Crown Royal to share with your friends, and you'll be the game day MVP. Perfect.
60 degrees on Sunday, buddy. You can bring it.
Yes, you can.
Bring it all day.
Sunday nighter in Foxborough against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this weekend.
All right, the Bills.
Let's talk. Let's chat about the future of Nathan Eovaldi, because we now know the future of David Price. He's staying. Okay, you don't. There's no departure for David Price.
Right.
Is Nathan Eovaldi a must? In terms of a guy you got to bring back,
I would love to bring him back. And I heard Felger and Mass talking about this yesterday and said, would you give him four years, 15 a year? Would you sign Nathan
Eovaldi? 4 and 60?
4 and 60.
Yes. Would you?
My initial thought is no. And then you go and you look at some of the prices that some guys are making and the impact this guy's had and just the confidence and just to see how he's. I think he's helped give this bullpen confidence, because it's back to when they acquired him where everybody was just trashing his bullpen, killing him, killing Joe Kelly, killing everyone. You know, Tyler Thornburg. Thornburg's the only name that gets lost out of this. Everybody else stepped up. That's great. Okay, so you're going to have Sell at 13. Price is back at 31. Yeah, Valdi's worth 15 a year in comparison to what he's done. Now, I don't want to reward a guy for what he's done. I want it because he's going to be good for a couple of years. And they got money. It's not like they got to get under a cap. And they got a threshold. They'll go to threshold a little bit. I think, hey, now it's about winning multiple championships, right? What's the window now for these guys? So Price opts in. He's back. You picked up Sell's option. The hell's Chris Sell going to get in here? Who knows what his arm's like? That's a guy that could be breaking down. But to keep those three guys as your front guys, that'd be great. That'd be great. That's a hell of a front three you got.
What if what if you were to trade Rick Porcello this offseason?
I'm in for that. As valuable as Porcello is, you know, and I know he won a Cy Young 2 years ago and all that. He wasn't the same guy, but his ability to swing out of that bullpen and give you whatever he needs to give you, and I like his attitude. I like everything about Mark Porcello. Rick Porcello.
He's got 1 year left, $21 million. Is he tradable?
I don't think he's tradable.
I think he is.
How?
I think someone would trade for him. You wouldn't be getting much in return, but you could move him off.
No, but it's about, if you're going to pay Porcello, or trade Porcello rather, it's about being able to keep somebody else with that extra money.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Would you swap?
Nathan Eovaldi plus probably though.
Okay.
Like he might be plus a guy that you might. Maybe, I don't know, like Nunez is coming back already. What about Pierce?
What about Steve Pierce?
Yes.
Sure. I like what you're doing.
What
even
Pierce
better
make?
There.
6 million?
I was saying you could free
Pierce
up the money.
6 million.
You could free up the money to keep Eovaldi by trading a guy like Rick Porcello. He's got 1 year, $21 million left. Dave Dombrowski has traded his ass once before because he didn't like him. And Dave Dombrowski is a guy who traded for Nathan Eovaldi because he liked him a lot. And that proved to be the right call. From him and his staff.
Let me ask you a question here.
So we already know he doesn't like Rick Porcello.
So you're not going to be in on Kimbrel. I don't want Kimbrel back. And I don't want him back at that money. With what Joe Kelly is giving you and the way that sucker's trending, can he be your closer?
Can't.
Potentially?
I don't know about that.
See, because he can't. The location problem.
See, because if location
and smoke
consistency.
That guy throws.
I mean, if you're going closer by committee or something,
they
maybe. But here's the thing. You can tell that Dave Dombrowski, he has a particular style of player that he likes. He likes power arms and he likes power bats. Isn't that what Dave Dombrowski is? Look at his track record. Look at his track record here in Detroit.
Yep.
Go all the way back to Florida.
That's what he do.
He's a man who's addicted to power on both offensively and on the mound. That's
and
what
the
he
game's
likes.
Finally evolving into his style.
Yeah, it is. Strikeouts or home runs and power arms, guys throwing gas out of the bullpen. And just gas, period.
His mid-2000 Tigers teams probably would have won World Series now.
They'd be better suited for it now. Yes, they would. And so when you look at what he likes, does he like a guy like Rick Porcello or does he like a Nathan Eovaldi type of pitcher? He likes the Nathan Eovaldi types. So that's how you can clear some money. That to me is a move that I'm half expecting already this offseason. That Porcello is a guy who could get moved. Did Porcello do anything in the postseason? I know that he came into relief, and I know that he showed he was versatile, and he was helpful. But in the World Series, did he prove that he's a guy you absolutely need on your roster? No, he didn't.
You need a guy like him on the roster to win you games in the regular season and to get you some innings in the postseason.
But it doesn't have to be this guy.
It doesn't have to be $22 million guy, though.
Thank you. And I think Dave Dombrowski knows that. So that's, if you're asking me what I would do, I would trade Porcello and I would re-sign Evaldi. Forward 60, if that gets it done, I would do it. I would do that, and I would keep him here. And that may even free up some more money to make sure you hang on to a guy like Kelly or Pierce, because they're going to cost more money. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. We'll be talking to Brad Stevens coming up next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the sports up.
Last call for alcohol, like you say in the club. Get all the drinks off the table now. It's 2 o'clock.
Oh. Tatum misses the second free throw, but no time for Blake Griffin to do anything as he comes up with a rebound, and that will do it. A much stronger, more assertive, better, deeper performance for the Detroit Pistons tonight, but still not enough to beat the Celtics in Boston. 31 for Kyrie. The Celtics have won three straight, and it's showdown Thursday on TNT as the Celtics will take the win streak into the matchup, the first of the year, with the lone unbeaten team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. Final here at the Garden, Boston 108, Detroit 105.
That would be Kyrie Irving 108, Detroit 105 last night at the Garden. Kyrie looked great. Looked fabulous. And I know there's a big deal being made of Tommy called him out for being 5 pounds overweight. Did you hear this?
Yeah, twice.
Called him out over the weekend. There was a lot being talked about that after the game last night. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, coach.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, championship parade. Damn sure you're not down at the parade. Okay. That's a question I'd raise.
Why are you wasting your time talking to me today?
You know what it is? We're a sports station. Every time we talk to you, Zoe loves to tell you everything else that's going on in sports. Like, oh, Pats game tomorrow, or Red Sox championship parade today. See, hey, I think the Bruins played tonight.
No, I do with Bill. See, and I do the TV with Bill every week, and I always got they wait for me to break the ice with him and kind of loosen him up, and we talk about other things like candy corn. You know, and
how long does that take?
You know what? The worst thing I ever did is I got going on Blue Crabs and the Naval Academy. We sat there for 20 minutes before we started filming TV. And
is that right?
Yeah. But we're not going to do that to you.
That probably would have been a lot better TV.
It would have.
They should have just rolled the tape.
I would have watched that for sure.
It would have been better than five-handed questions. Kyrie Irving, great night for you last night. What's the difference?
Really no difference as far as how he played. I mean, he just made some shots. You know, I think at the end of the day, you can't get too caught up in that, especially early in the season. I thought he played great on our road trip, and he couldn't make a shot. So just the way it goes sometimes. And he's done all the right things with regard to, you know, how he's playing, making the right play, making the smart play. And, you know, the shots inevitably will fall for a player of his caliber.
Last night, he was talking a lot after the game, Kyrie, that is, about Tommy having called him out over the weekend for being 5 pounds overweight. And he said he was on the bike and he was getting in shape between Saturday and last night. Did you see any of that from him?
Kyrie takes care of himself. Kyrie's always really prided himself on that. Kyrie uses and expends a lot of energy when he plays because of the amount of attention he receives from the defense. And so one of the things that, you know, inevitably the best players in the league have to be in even better shape. And I think that if Kyrie said that he took to heart what Tommy had said and he was working on it, I believe it. And he certainly has been diligent in his work all the way through this whole preseason. And at the same time, you're still managing him off of the fact that he didn't play at the end of the season. And so it's not like he was able to practice every day as we went through training camp and those type of things. That's just part of coming back from 4 months off.
Coach, the young kid Williams, your draft pick, and I know there's some issues at the beginning of the year. We haven't talked to you in a while about him, but, you know, with Tice having the foot and potential playing time, you know, that he could be seeing, how's he been trending for you? How's he been working?
No, I really like him. I think he's he's got a chance to be very good. Obviously, as anybody can see, just, you know, on a couple of possessions when you turn on the TV or you're at the game, he's a super athlete. You know, we always talk about if you can,
be a big that rolls to the rim and has to be accounted for vertically, you really help your offense, because what happens is guys have to pull in on the weak side and make contact with you. Otherwise, you know, a jump ball is going to be won by him most of the time. Creates closeouts on the weak side and gives our guys an opportunity to make plays. We've got to get better learning him. As he continues to learn and grow within our system and how we play and everything else, I think he's going to be really good.
We're talking with Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics. Coach, last night you got that fourth quarter tee. Did you call the timeout to continue to give yourself some extra time to have your opinion heard on the matter?
No, I called the timeout because we had lost the lead that we had built up, and we were trending in the wrong direction. And just wanted to get something reset. So no, it didn't have anything to do with the fact that of when that tee happened.
I could tell you from a fan's perspective, though, it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I get
everybody enjoyed it. That's
I'm glad. I'm glad you enjoy it. I always look back on it and say, I think you always wish you wouldn't have gotten one, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You feel better, than a week ago, and we talked about, off the preseason and the way some things were trending, and you're getting the quick timeouts there. Do you feel your team's responding more now to what you're asking them to do, the week into it?
I think we're better this week than we were last. This three games in a row is going to be a great test for us. Really more than that, all the way through our trip. We've got, one more home game before we go five straight on the road. And you think about how good Milwaukee's playing. They're 7-0, and they look tremendous on film. Indiana is really good. Last year, really good start. This year, there. And then Denver 6-1. Those are our next three games, two of the three on the road. So these will be great tests to see if we've made as good a stride as I hope. I think the last three games have certainly provided some glimpses into what we can become. It's not consistent yet.
Coach, you in or out on candy corn? Yay or nay?
Candy corn.
Yeah. The Midwest thing.
What's the debate over candy corn?
Well, it tastes like wax.
No, real corn is the Midwest thing.
See, we think that there's like, based on where you are in the country is whether or not you like candy corn.
Like, do you like it?
No.
I don't mind it. No. I don't love it, but I don't mind. Zoe hates it.
I hate it.
Hardy loves it.
But you're right.
My two worst things, like Easter, you get those peeps, those yellow peeps. Like, those are god-awful. And you're probably a peep guy.
I liked those when I was little. Yeah. And my kids like them, but I think you grow out of them for sure.
Yeah, the corn thing in the Midwest is legit. My wife is from Nebraska, and corn everything, corn parmesan, corn burgers, name it. But it extends to candy corn too, which is a big thing in our house. But
just because it looks like corn,
I know Zolak's down on corn. We don't know what to do with them.
It's the texture of wax.
We're just getting some backup.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. All right, coach. That's it, coach.
I do like candy corn, and I do like corn in the Midwest for sure.
I was going to say, what are you looking for tonight to steal out of your kids' like trick or treating bags? What's the Halloween candy of choice for Brad Stevens?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a really good. I'm a peanut M&M guy.
That's a good choice.
So, it's a classic. And neither of my kids like them. So I'm hopeful that that's what they bring home en masse.
Now, do you walk with them, or do you dress up? Like, I don't want to say.
I do not dress up.
Okay.
I do not dress up, but I do. My daughter really loves it, and so I'll do half the time with her and half the time manning the house.
Huh, what a nice dad.
That's good.
Look at that. Giving out some Celtics tickets, maybe. Huh? All right, Coach.
That's right.
Thanks. All right, Coach. Appreciate
the
time.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy the parade. See you.
See you guys.
Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Best costume that visits the Stevens house tonight, courtside.
Courtside.
Everyone else is just.
Those big black leather seats down on the court? You get one of those.
Oh, another stormtrooper? Okay, you get loge 8. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's a princess. Okay, you know what? You're 300 level. Yeah.
If I was him,
look at this alien with the real goo dripping out. Courtside.
You sort of got to adapt to what you are when you dress up. What would you go as if you were him? Like, I was thinking I would either go with Alfalfa from The Little Rascals or Lloyd Dobber from Dumb and Dumber. Black out the teeth. Answer the door, a little bowl cut.
So you're saying you think Brad Stevens most closely resembles those two characters?
I think if you're going to incorporate your looks into the outfit, right?
I think in an
effort I would go as David Hasselhoff, and I would carry a big red tube.
I think in an effort to keep Brad Stevens calling into this program every week, I'll say James Bond. Or, you know, he could go as any number of heroic, handsome figures.
Superman.
In popular culture.
Sure.
Batman.
Clark Kent.
Yes.
You know, Brady dresses up and goes out this night.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, Batman.
He gets if you see a Batman. Macy's.
Yeah. A lot of role playing.
That's right.
A lot of role playing.
None of the rich high heels.
Massive inch high heels for later. Hardy has our headlines here at 11:30. We're going to be talking to Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots. He's been in a championship parade before, has he not?
He's back. He was back in Buffalo.
No, he hasn't. He was still in Buffalo then.
He's not.
He's only been here one season, not two. Oh, Jim now tells me he may not be next. Who knows?
We always kind of just handle it by how they come.
They're very.
Belichick's press conference is not till 1 today. So.
Play fast and loose.
We don't know if he's next, but he will call before
he's
going to
call
of the show.
At some point today.
That is definite.
You're right. He has no idea what a championship parade's like. Oh, well. Maybe he'll get one this year. We'll talk to him coming up in the near future. Hopefully before the hour is out. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
As we just discussed with Brad Stevens, the Celtics had a win last night, 108-105 over the Pistons, and a big night for Kyrie Irving, but he's giving credit to the whole team.
Great team performance, honestly. We got a few guys in double figures. You know, games like tonight where, as a team, you know, we probably don't shoot as well as we want. There were a few minute exchanges where, you know, for 3 minutes they capitalized on some of our mistakes or they got it out in transition and kept the game close. And
they still won 108-105. The Green will stay home to play Milwaukee on Thursday night. Bruins 3-2 winners over the Hurricanes in Carolina last night. They got a couple of days off before they got to play the Nashville Predators. The Red Sox are rolling through Boston right now. The rolling rally to celebrate the 2018 World Series championship. David Price announcing before the parade got underway that he is opting in his contract with the Red Sox, where he will stay 4 more years. Headlines are brought to you by, Cold Refreshing Coors Light, proud sponsor of the Patriots Radio Network. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
You'd said consistently that you always wanted to opt in, but was there any consideration otherwise, and did the postseason reaffirm that?
No, there wasn't any reconsideration on my part ever. I came here to win, you know, and we did that this year. That was very special, and now I want to do it again.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, the parade moving down Boylston Street through the streets of Boston. Red Sox celebrating another World Series title. 4 now in the last 14 years. That was David Price that you just heard. That was at Fenway Park last hour speaking to the media. He's not going anywhere. Staying.
I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here.
But you already did. So you got that now. If he had opted out and he said, I'm leaving and I'm going to go somewhere else, what do you think the reaction would have been? Now we're playing a hypothetical game. What would it have been?
Fraud. People would have went nuts. Even with the win, they would have been like, damn it, he is who we thought he was. Because I think he's got people swaying to the positive direction right now where he's got him eating out of his hand. And by saying, coming back, I want to do it again, you're like, that's a great answer. That's what you should say. If he would have bolted, then he did come here for the money. And he couldn't take the heat. Even though he stepped up.
Do you think that's why he made the decision the way he did? Do you think that played a factor? Not maybe the reason, but part of the reason.
I think it's great that he made the decision before the parade. I do. Because if he goes out there, takes a victory lap, and then leaves at 11 o'clock tonight, you feel like the Indianapolis Colts. Or the Colts when they went to...
If he had not announced that, prior to the parade, would we all be sitting here right now thinking to ourselves, "What? Why wouldn't he have just said it? If he's coming back, why wouldn't he have just said it?
He wouldn't have talked. He wouldn't have talked.
Right. I agree.
If he was opting out, he wouldn't have talked.
No, I'm saying if he just didn't talk.
Yeah, nobody would have assumed anything. There's a lot of players that didn't talk.
Yeah, they'll say, enjoy the day. And then imagine if he talked and said, there's a lot of things I need to contemplate and think over. I need to talk to my family.
He would never do that.
That would have been, but maybe he would have if you let him talk and he wasn't sure.
I think a certain aspect of the fans would have been pissed at the media if he opted out. Because it's the media's fault.
Yeah, right.
That's why he would have opted out.
You believe
no,
that, you're
bull
a fool.
Crap, Jim. Then you're a bad fan.
If you believe David Price on that, you're foolish.
No, I'm saying some of the fans would have been pissed at the media for it. No,
whatever. They're pissed at us anyway. They hate us anyway. What do I care?
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for listening.
We do. Thanks. No, because that's the way it always is.
That's the way it always will be.
When it's a negative opinion,
you talk about the issues.
It belongs solely to the media.
Right. Well, have we been negative on House Court? No, nothing but positive because he's done all the right stuff and he's reacted well and he's responded. That's what you do.
No, but what I'm saying is there are plenty of people that were down on David Price. Right? Red Sox fans were down on David Price for a long time.
There's no way prior to him winning in the fashion of what he did, starting in the Yankee series, could you have felt any differently as a fan? You could have never sat there as a fan and said, oh, this guy's everything we thought he was going to be. When he signed that contract for that many years, the richest one that any pitcher's gotten, to come here and not respond in the big moments, like, how could you have thought any differently?
Then
you're a bad fan.
Why did David Price get off Twitter? Because the media was tweeting him all the time?
I don't think it was media members.
No, I don't think it was.
No. It was either Carrabas or one of the fans. Right.
Speaking of Carrabas, he's on one of these boats today.
Of course he is. He's probably holding a gold bottle with capital letters. He's in his shirts. He's Mr. Nickname. He's giving all these guys the nickname.
I told him to call us today. I told him to call in. I gave him the bat phone number.
Good.
Haven't heard from him yet. Haven't heard from our friend.
Well, text him. Say, hey, where's the call?
Is there any other guy that's, call for what it is. He's in the media. Barstool's media now. Is there any guy that shouldn't be on that duck boat than him? That should be on the duck boat other than him? No.
Keep talking.
Nobody loves this team like he does. That's evident.
Well,
yeah, I mean, he was going to have the bunk beds with David Price, right?
That just opens up the whole conversation.
Now, two bags?
There's only two ways to go on this.
Nothing but ding-dongs? Go ahead.
It's a parade. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Or you say it's a parade for the team, and the only people who should be on those boats are team members, their families.
I rode a boat twice.
But as part of the broadcast team, I would consider you part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
But,
well, their broadcast team's on it. They should be.
Yes.
If you travel with that team and log it and
Joe Castiglione,
you deliver the passion up and down, you should be on it.
And O'Brien and Eck and Remy and all those guys should be there. If you are team broadcasters or you're employed by the team and, of course, team members and family and stuff like that. Once you get outside of that, I actually work for them. Really? Carrabas is the biggest Red Sox fan out there? No, he's a huge Red Sox fan, but if we're just giving it to him for fandom, then
I think there is a media invited boat.
He's not on that. He's on JD Martinez's boat.
Oh my God.
Good for him, but it's like, well, who deserves it more than him? I'm like, a lot of those people standing there. It's just he's got a blog that a lot of people read and
he's got a platform.
Yeah. But then I tend to err on the other side of that argument, which is there are no rules. It's a parade. It's supposed to be fun. Don't overthink it. Invite whoever you want.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me who deserves to be there and who should, because you know they stayed up. They stayed up nights. You want to know why this parade was put off until Wednesday? They probably needed two full days of sitting around a conference table deciding who's going to go on what boat and who we're not going to offend. And, oh, my, there's no way we can figure this out by Tuesday.
Well, especially
you got to push it till Wednesday.
Especially with them. You're lucky if you see one person, one representative of the team. There's not a lot of baseball players, obviously. This isn't football. But you're lucky if you see one guy on a boat. Like, you see a boat full of 30 people that I've never seen before. And they actually have fat heads cut out of the players so you know which boat the fat head's on, which is smart by them.
Yeah.
Because some of the guys aren't recognizable.
Right.
Let's face it. You're not recognizable.
Speaking of Barstool, Barstool just put up a quick clip. They're covering the parade today. Obviously, people are sending in their videos and what they got going on out there on the route. What's this one, Jim? Play it for us.
We're excited. What's your name?
Sarah.
So who do you hope to see today?
Tom Brady.
Nice. That was someone taking it off TV, I'm guessing.
Perfect.
Who are you here to see today? Tom Brady. I'm hoping to see Tom Brady. Oh, wait, he's not going to be here?
So my daughter calls me this morning. She goes, Dad, you'd be proud because I'm staying and I'm taking my classes where tons of my friends. And, you know, she sent me the videos from UMass. She's out at Amherst. And they flooded the quad. Obviously, Beatles been there on championship nights where people jump off buildings and break legs. And she said, you'd be proud. I'm going to class today where all my friends are going to the parade. She got, I'm like, well, why would you ever go? But she said they won the championship. I said, who won? She goes, Red Sox. I said, name me one player. She couldn't. And I said, you're in the right spot, honey.
Yeah.
That's a good job. You stayed back. Because all you're going to get is you're going to get a lot of him-haws out there today.
Did she ever go to the Pats with you?
She did not. Brody has. Brody's been on both. I take the boy. I'm a dad.
Oh, God.
Oh, Buffy.
Yes, brother.
Oh, take the boy. Here we go.
Yes.
Here we go. Looks like they got a good crowd out there today. Good weather, good parade.
Mm, great day to drink out outside.
Parade fever is what these people.
Yeah, that's you've said that a couple of times.
Get your Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, and put some cheer in there.
Coming up next, we're giving away a gift card to Dairy Queen DQ. You have a chance to win that coming up right after this.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Muncy flies one in the air to left center. Back at the wall, and it's gone! It's over! Muncy, a walk-off home run to win game three in the 18th.
We'll map it out tomorrow. There's a few guys that are lining up in my office to start the game tomorrow. We'll decide what we do, and we'll be fine.
Here comes a 3-1. Craig launches. Left field. Goodbye. 4-0 Dodgers in the sixth.
Chris Sale pumping up his teammates in the dugout.
I was down in the tunnel. I heard someone yelling. Mookie came down. He was going down to watch some video, and I said, who's yelling up there? He's like, Sale. I'm like, oh, my God, he's mad. He was mad at us. So, you know, I think that kind of lit a fire under everybody.
Dodgers leading by 4. High fly ball to right. Back at the wall. It is gone. Pinch hit 3-run home run, Moreland.
So 0-41, the top 4 spots.
In these 2 games, here's a fly ball into left center. Back is Bellinger at the wall. The game is tied. Steve Pierce.
Rafael Devers.
That's up the middle. The Red Sox are going to take the lead. Holt scores. Boston on top 5-4.
David Price is starting tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, no, we feel like maybe it's because of
Pierce hits one in the air to left center field. Back at the wall. There will be no zero. Pierce has got another. 2-0 Boston in the first.
You know, what can you say? I mean, it's like you can't question anything that Alex did. It's like questioning Einstein.
0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price.
Chris is okay. Yeah, no, he's actually he'll be back there.
But now Boston will have Chris Sale on the mound trying to close down game 5. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Yes! Red Sox win the World Series. 5-1 the final tonight. And the best team in baseball wins it all in 2018.
I'm proud of you guys, but honestly. Thank you.
2018 World Series champions, the Boston Red Sox, who are rolling through the streets of Boston at this hour, celebrating with their parade. If you're on the parade route, you should give us a call. Give us a live update. We already got one from Joe and Revere.
If you're hammered, call us.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Different number. This is the contest number. 617-931-0985. We'll score a $50 Dairy Queen gift card. DQ, fan food, not fast food. That's caller 10 on the contest line only, 617-931-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Dave is in Maine. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday.
What's up?
So I couldn't disagree with you more when you said that Price would be a fraud if he had opted out. I think the exact opposite. Not that I think he's a fraud.
Fraud's a bad word. I mean, I'm trying to come up with a word to.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You would feel you know what? You left us at the not left us at the altar, but you left.
I don't know though. I think it would just be almost the perfect scenario because I think the whole reason why the option's in there after 3 years is. It was almost like an incentive for Price to perform as well as he could here, win a championship, and then after 3 years put himself in a position where he could possibly get more than 4-127. And I agree.
I think
more than 4-127 right now. But he did basically. If we could go back in time in the room where they signed the contract and ask everyone in that room what the ideal situation would be, it's where we're sitting right here.
Bingo.
This is the perfect scenario.
No, I'm with you, but I'm just saying the way, you know, fans go nuts over championships here in this
fans
city.
Yeah, can be morons too, though. I think
I know that. But you know, if the guy that I think he should have been the MVP, you know, departs and elects to leave and doesn't want to be with you, I think it turns people off. That's all.
And I'll tell you what, Dave.
Best case scenario for the team is for him to opt out.
Had he pitched, though, but had he pitched well the entire 3 years? The first 3 years of this deal, if he had pitched well and had been David Price of old throughout this time, we may still be looking at an opt-out today. He may do that if he felt like, hey, I've given you guys three straight great years, and now I'm capping it with a World Series. I'm going to hit the market again, and I think we would feel differently about it if that is how it had played out. Versus now, he's finally reached what he came here to do, and he's finally become the pitcher that you wanted him to be when he walked through the door. And it's just happening now, 3 years in.
How's he top it?
So timing is a big part of it, too.
And I would be perfectly fine. I agree with everything you just said. And I just know personally, I would feel completely fine today if you said, you know what, I'm out of here. I really wouldn't feel any differently about him. I would think and I would say he clearly wasn't my favorite player while he was here. And, you know, there was more.
And he probably shouldn't be. I don't know many people that could call the station.
But
and say,
I would have said, thank you. You did exactly what we would have hoped you would have done here in terms of winning the championship. And good luck to you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. Dave, I actually agree with you. If he had opted out today.
Fraud's the wrong word.
I wouldn't have hated it. I mean, just from a monetary standpoint, like where you are. What your future is.
How you want your organization to actually look and have that money come off the books after you win the championship would be phenomenal.
Here's what I'm the most concerned with. I want there to be enough money to be able to make sure that Mookie Betts is here for the long term.
Benintendi?
I want to make sure that Benintendi is here for the long term. I want to make sure that Bogarts is here for the long term. I don't know how long he's going to play shortstop for. I get the feeling that at some point in his career, Bogarts is going to end up at third base, which I know he doesn't like. But I feel like that's eventually going to happen for him. So I want those guys here, though. I want them signed. I want those are your core players. That's sort of the youth. The problem, though, is that where's the great young pitching currently on the major league roster? It's not really there yet. Okay, it might be down the road. It might be a few more years. So you got to sort of bridge to that next point. So is it better that David Price is coming back for the team? Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. Chris Sale may not be here beyond next year. That's something you have to factor in as well. And by the way, if you're the Red Sox, they picked up the option. That was not unexpected for next year. Are you entertaining talking with Chris Sale and his representatives right now about a long-term extension? Would you even open up that conversation right now? I wouldn't.
No.
I'd want to see him come back and make sure he's okay.
Right.
Make sure that he's not breaking down. And you may have to pay for that. You know, you might be able to get a better deal right now, but I would rather wait it out and know what you have before you even entertain talking about doing a deal. Derek is in New Hampshire. Hey, Derek.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to get your guys, you know, thought and perspective on how, you know, everybody's saying that this is the best, you know, baseball team, Red Sox team ever. And the only reason I ask that is because, you know, I feel like the game – not only baseball, just in almost every sport has completely changed in, you know, the way that they go about things and just the technology and training that we have these days. Basically just, you know, I'm not. I don't want to take anything away from the team. I love the team, but what is your guys' perspective on that? Just in the way that the game has changed, and in saying that I haven't taken anything away. You know, they killed everybody. You know, they beat the crap out of everybody, and then they Boston teabagged.
Is this take that they are? I don't want to keep them on the line.
What's this teabag thing?
Is this take that they are the best team of all time?
I heard teabagging.
I heard teabag.
That's all I heard.
Boston teabag.
Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to know. If you don't believe they're the best team, and I'm not going back to 1912 and 1918. I'm not doing that. I'm talking about of the current four Red Sox World Series teams in the last 14 years now. What's the argument against this team being the best team out of the group? What's the counter argument? I don't know what it is.
Style of play, maybe?
Winning differently. You're winning differently.
How so?
The bench players.
It's the style we just talked about. Yeah. Strikeouts, home runs. That's the style of play now. Yeah. It's not the same as it was before. It's almost like a different era.
It's about getting outs instead of innings. You know, the way the game's viewed, the way starters only should have to go only four innings.
It's not even that. It's the OBP era of 04 versus this era that now it's just strikeouts and home runs.
Okay, but compared to the rest, compared to their peers that they are playing in whatever era they are playing in, what's the argument against this particular team? What is it?
No, but you were comparing them to the other teams, I thought.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't have to compare them against each other. Compare it against their competition, what they played against. You could do that.
I don't know. You guys are downplaying the whole 100 wins all season long, so that would be the argument.
Yeah, but I'm not downplaying the fact that they lost a game in each series on their way to winning it all. A game.
Their record wasn't much different in all these
playoff
runs.
No, it was about 11-3 in all of them.
Yeah.
But where they lost is where the difference is. Right?
They never got pressed to the brink.
Never. Right. They were never close to being pushed out. Never close.
Which should make them greater than all the other ones,
Jim,
because of their domination.
Maybe that's the argument. Maybe they're
not
too,
a single one of their series
maybe the
went
argument
deep.
Is their front running. Maybe that's the argument against them.
But, I mean, if they're front running, they're only front running because they were so good. I mean, listen. Yeah, they were 108. Do I think they're a true... You know, if you're comparing 108 wins over time, do I think that they're a true 108 team? I think the number's a little inflated because the competition across baseball is sort of down. It stinks. So are they a true 108 team if you're comparing it across decades? Maybe not, but what are they? 103, 104? They're a 100-win team no matter how you dice it. The 108 might be a little much, little inflated. I think the team made too big of a deal out of it, considering they hadn't won anything yet. But now, in hindsight, you can look at the whole picture and say, all right, they were legit, and they went through legit competition in the playoffs.
They were the best team from the start of the season to the end of the season without any dips. That's for sure.
Yep.
All those other teams had stretches of months or 2 months where it's like 500 ball.
They never stumbled. Never, not once.
They started 17-2 and kept rolling.
Remember what I said at the start of the year? I said, we won't really know what Alex Cora is, how great Alex Cora can be until the team faces adversity. And then they never did.
So we got to wait until next year?
I still don't know what it's going to be like when the team hits a bad slump or a bad losing streak. You know, is Alex Cora a guy who could sort of lift them up out of it? I don't know. He didn't have to do it this year. The team was too good. The Red Sox of 2018, 90 seconds, no commercials. Hardy with the headlines.